Eating or not, but feeling the currents of energy, not only beneath us, which are very strong, but around us, swirling around us. The spirals of energy that connect us to heaven and earth, the spirals coming up from below in a clockwise direction, and the heaven spirals coming down in a counterclockwise, meeting in the center. Take a full breath in and just let your belly soften. Let your body soften and enjoy the earth, the sky, the day. The masculine and feminine that is brought together here. Certainly many, many days of strong masculine. And now the goddess is here. And she is here to bring balance, not to create only goddess, but to bring balance and heal the earth and the consciousness of all. Now, as you enjoy the energy of this place that comes in so many forms, let yourself feel who you are as a person that is balanced. You are between the past and the future. You are in the now, in your own sacred space of balance. So as the masculine and feminine weave its energy and its story through here, so does your life that brought you here. And continue with the messages of Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. For those just listening, we are in Glastonbury Abbey, the area where there is so much mysticism. For 29 years, dear ones, I have been bringing you things filled with love, compassion, truth, and occasionally rewriting history. All of this to bring truth in its purest form to the average human being who listens, so that you know that you are fully included. And here is a place that fully includes everyone who steps upon the ground. We started this particular series, number one, with the story of the hero's journey. And that would include the many authors that have claimed to be the only one, or those around who have claimed to be the only one. Giving the human being that sense that there is hope on this journey, that there is mysticism on the journey. And all of those stories I told you originally, building up the human being for solution, finding light, and discovering the undiscoverable. This is the seat of that. You sit in a place where legends cross with history and tradition, with mysticism, where all have been distorted, and so much of it is true. And what you do is then sort out the truth from that which is not, or from that which has been amplified for effect, or amplified for joy. For the hero's journey is always one that gets altered, always in a benevolent way. The heroes who walked here and did what they did became legends because they had greater conquering to do, more things to find, and solutions to the impossible. I've already told you that that which some of you call the ley lines, some of that which you call the lines of Gaia, that which we have described as the crystalline grid itself in this node, all cross here. And so it is a place of great energy that many feel. If nothing had happened here, I will tell you, there would still be gatherings to this day, feeling that which is heroic in each human being, peaceful, with hands raised in appreciation of Gaia. But so much happened here, I want to tell you one of them. You might think, what is the overwhelming legend here? What is the most sacred and precious search here? What is it that everyone who has been here of note knows about? It's talked about. And that would be the Holy Grail. Let this channel be the story of the Holy Grail. Let me tell you about the legend. And there is truth here, beyond the truth. Not all of it being revealed today, but so much of it sensed. What happened here that is of significance, the thing that you sit in the area of, has to do with Joseph. And Joseph was the uncle of Jesus. He was. So he was family. In a minute, I'll show you what Joseph did in addition to what he did here that shows he's family. And the legend and the mysticism would say that Joseph came from Palestine not long after his nephew was on the wood. And the legend says that he brought with him the cup of Christ, the grail itself, the one involved in the Last Supper. But not only that, the legend says that there were drops of blood in that cup from the wounded side of his nephew on the wood. And all manner of things have been amplified and sprung up from that legend. Where is the cup? Was the blood magical? What happened here gets changed almost every generation. But there is truth within the truth. I'm going to take you to a place that so many don't really want to visit. And again, I will take you to a place in Jerusalem. In the upper room, there was indeed a Last Supper. And this is the beginning of the legend of this, the cup of Christ, the Holy Grail. And it has been amplified because of its significance today that was not even known then. And that is what we wish to speak of. You can imagine Jesus giving his apostles a farewell. Now it's important for you to understand they didn't understand. They didn't know it. Jesus did. And in his own way, he was saying goodbye. And he gave them sign after sign that it would be the last time they would see him. But they didn't understand. To think that all of this would come to an end after the miracles, after the love and the compassion that they had seen, just the beginning of something very special. And here was the Master of Love, in tears, saying goodbye. Mary of Magdala was there at his side, dear ones. This is not a myth. And he was saying goodbye to all. Even after the traitor left, they didn't understand that this would be the last meal. The meal was the Passover. And it all corresponds. This was the meal. This was the unleavened bread. All Jews, no matter what the sects, even that time, no matter what they believed, still honored the Exodus from Egypt, and the Passover was celebrated by all. And this corresponded with it. For many there, it was simply another Passover meal. What was the Master saying? What he was talking about? It was cryptic. Why was he crying? He was saying goodbye. There was no sign that said, Last Supper. There was no indication to any of them of the profundity of the next days. He was trying his best to say farewell to those he had been with, who had followed him, who had shared in the journey and the path. A day of sorrow. They didn't get it. All of the history points to the fact that they were in the dark until that moment. I want you to notice who was missing. Joseph. He was not at that Last Supper. He was not there. Difficult for Joseph then to capture the cup, wouldn't it be? Perhaps he found it later among the dirty dishes. But there is no story of then who spied it and who agreed that this was the last time that they would ever see the Master of Love, or put it aside or capture it or put it in the bag. There was no one who did that. And Joseph wasn't even there. That's the first mystery. The rest is history, and I've talked to you about it before. The man on the wood, after all the suffering, going through the streets and the stations, and it was time then to take him off the wood. Now, here's something that nobody has ever told you. Now, this is channeling. So, of course, you're free to disagree or think, well, it's just channeling, it's not history, therefore it was not true. But all the pictures of the Master of Love on the wood are incorrect. There is no way the human body could have been supported by two nails, one in each hand. They would have torn out. Within a few moments of the weight of his body, they would have torn out. And so the Romans strapped him to the wood. And that held him firm. And the nails were just for pain. And that was part of the suffering. In the feet, it was the same. For they didn't do that to the others. But this one, they did. Lashed and held there until it was sundown. I've said this before, that the rules of crucifixion in Jerusalem are on the books even today, that you should not crucify after sundown. Who was there at sundown to take the body? One relative, Joseph. Isn't it interesting that the followers were not there, the apostles were not there? Mary was, but Joseph was the designated relative, the uncle. Did you ever wonder why the others weren't there? Dear ones, if they had been, they might have been arrested. They kept their distance. But the uncle, he was allowed because he was family. When sundown came, he took the body and was the one who took it to the tomb. This is the story of Joseph, who built this church that you see, or the remnants of the feeling of what he built. Some have said, well, tell us about this area, this Glastonbury area. Is it possible that Jesus was here? Dear ones, he was here three times. He was very invested in working with his uncle in trading between England and that which was Palestine. And so Jesus came, knew the area, and so did Joseph. As the story is told, that he came here shortly after that, which was the crucifixion. And this is where he built his church. Here was another piece of the puzzle. He didn't come alone. Now, the one who came with him, it doesn't serve history to tell about that human being yet. But profoundly, you're still being told that this Holy Grail came with him. Let me paint a picture of a grieving uncle at the foot of the cross where his nephew was passing away, seemingly every moment. And you're led to believe that somehow, some way, in a supper that he didn't attend, he had gotten a hold of the cup. A cup that was not emblazoned with jewelry or gold. It was probably made of tin, among all the other cups. That somehow he had gone into that upper room, found the exact cup, took it with him. And in these moments of incredible grief and sorrow, he took the cup and gathered some of the blood that came out of Jesus' wound. And then stuffed it back in his bag. And then when all and said and done, he brought it here and buried it. Dear ones, there is no Holy Grail. Not physical. Not physical. Joseph knew something. If you could be in the church, the first one, the one he built, if you could be there was no depiction of a dying nephew. None. It was a joyful church. It was about love. That doesn't exist. And there will be controversy in everything I say at this point. If you want controversy, look at the scrolls that were discovered in Nag Hammadi, Egypt. A discussion between John and Thomas of what the death was really about. There was disagreement even then on what should be thought of about what took place. John won that disagreement, by the way. Thomas, he said it was all about the Master's teaching. He showed us who we could be, what we could be, the joy we could have, the connection with love to the source. And John said, no, it was about his death. But Joseph, he built this first church, a church of light, a church of joy, with no depiction of his dying nephew anywhere. You see, the Holy Grail is the memory of Jesus. It's the hero's journey. When you find it, you found yourself. You found the joy inside. You found the whole purpose. The church was built on this very ground by his uncle, who knew. What it became later, with popes and kings, is history. But what it was then is embodied in the energy of this place, this node. The Holy Grail is that inside every single human being. Listen, you don't have to be a Christian to understand this, to understand that Last Supper was a goodbye with one man to his followers. You don't have to be a Christian to feel that which is the Creator's light in this place. What it's become in the mysticism that circles and all the marketing, you cut through it and the Holy Grail is here. And you're enjoying it because it is the profundity of the light on the planet. This man changed the calendar system hundreds of years later. the actual calendars of the planet, change to reflect his life, dear ones. That's the Holy Grail. That's the influence. By the definition of Holy Grail, it is something searched for and desired. And so many have found it. Old souls, so many of you have found it. And so many will still search. Not the physical cup, which to this day lies crumbling in dirty dishes. But the significance of the man in the first communion at the Passover, who said goodbye to his followers and went through something. Not is what he's asking you to go through, but what the light was around it all, and the beauty of the message of the Master of Love. Someday this history may actually be seen, and more. But for now, we ask you to feel this and understand this and demystify so many things that then would become practical to you so that you can participate in the same search, in the same hero's journey, in the same solutions that so many have. Give a thank you to Joseph for all that he did as the uncle of Jesus and what he attempted to do here, building the first church to honor love. Thank you, Joseph. And so it is.